I've realized that one particular aspect that is involved in this job description that Paul gives to us in these first three verses is one that's particularly hard to, it's hard for us to do, and there's many reasons why, but because it's a hard job, but there's a great reward. We're going to, as you see it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. But in the epistle to the Ephesians, we find that Paul lists for us our vocation, our calling in life. And Alex just said he's just praying the Lord will show him direction if he's called to the ministry. That's what God wants for him. But I can tell you one thing right now, that I can guarantee that every single one of you down the right, in the middle, and over here to my left are called to this particular vocation. You're called to this job. You have a ministry already that God's called you to, and that is to be, as we're going to read here in just a moment, five different things. He says in verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the bond, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's that second word that I want to focus in on tonight. It is with all lowliness and meekness. I tell you, that's a hard word, meekness. We looked at it some last week, and I don't feel like I was able to get it all in, so I'm going to see it in a little bit different light tonight, but you find in our text here that it follows closely with another word, lowliness. Lowliness. And you can perhaps be humble and struggle with meekness, but here's the deal, you can never be truly meek unless you're truly humble. You see, because being meek requires you to be humble. And to be humble, number one, you got to have a right view of yourself. But to be meek, you have to have a right view on how others treat me. The world sees themselves as, number one, trying to reach to the top of a ladder and trying to push everybody else off and everybody else submit to them. But God, in His Word, gives us great examples of meekness, like Jeremiah, David, even our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we may learn that in our lives, this essential job description that the Christian possesses of being meek. I think all of you have probably heard the old ambulance chaser commercials, haven't you? Hurt or injured in a car wreck? Have you been hit recently by, have you or a family member been hit by a semi-truck lately? We specialize in farm accidents, mesothelioma, whatever that word is, case right there. I mean, there's a, have you had to work with asbestos? And we can represent you. You deserved to be represented. You've got them all on TV. You've got Funk, you've got Lorenz, you've got Thomas J. Henry. You know why they're all on, those commercials are all on during the middle of the day? It's because most of the time, the people that are hurt or injured are at home doing nothing else but sitting on their couch watching TV in the middle of the day. And so they play these commercials and they appeal to, they know what they're appealing to. I understand that a car wreck can be expensive. I've been in a couple of them, all right? Just ask my wife and everything. And I've been in some car wrecks. They're not cheap, okay? I understand that, okay? Now, add injuries on top of that. I understand that they're not cheap at all. And I understand there might be some that are at fault and don't want to pay and all kinds of things like that. But really, whenever there is an idea that's being represented or presented in the personal injury lawyer, whenever he presents himself on TV, he is presenting himself in such a way that you've been hurt really bad and you really deserve some righteous compensation. You really deserve it. What are they doing? They're playing off yours and mine intense desire to be recompensed for wrongdoing that's been done to us. That's what they're doing. Commercials are not, the people that make commercials are not dumb, okay? They're very smart people. They're very wise in their marketing stances. They know what they're doing, and whenever they come up with good slogans and good ideas, they've got a purpose. And then for these particular things, they're trying to play off our emotion. They're trying to play off this one thing that I deserve to be recompensed for somebody doing me wrong. I gave you a good biblical illustration, I should say, biblical definition of meekness. Maybe you wrote it down, maybe you didn't, but you can write it down now. It's real simple. It is strength under control. Strength under control. But I want to give you a biblical description of meekness. And to do that, you'll have to find your Bible and turn, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. I want you to see this before we see our 3 points here, because I want you to notice this biblical description that Jesus gives of what meekness looks like. Now, the word meekness is not used in verses 38 through 42, but I'll tell you right now, this is meekness to a T. And once we see this, and you'll see that this is strength under control, then we're going to see 3 easy-to-understand points here tonight and expand upon this subject of meekness and just how it affects you and me. But first of all, let's grab this biblical description. He says here in Matthew chapter number 5, he says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." He says, that's what you've always heard, right? Somebody, that's we might call it this, tit for tat, right? You do wrong to me, I do wrong to you. But Jesus says that's not the way it works. In my kingdom, it's different. "I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him to the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." That's strength under control. You've been injured. I like this one particular one. It has a special emphasis in verse number 41. "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." You realize that the Jews were underneath Roman authority at this time. And a Roman soldier could compel any other citizen of any other nation to carry his luggage, if you will, his armor, a mile. He could compel any other citizen other than a Roman citizen to carry his pack, if you will, for 1 mile. And the Jews despised this because they despised being underneath Roman rule. But if they didn't, they could be injured. They could be hurt even worse. And they could be jailed or imprisoned or fined. And so this Roman soldier could come up to any Jew that wasn't a citizen of Rome and say, "Carry my pack a mile." And they would have to be submitted to do so. They're under the law. That would be the law of the land right there. But Jesus says you need to have strength under control. He said, don't go with them 1 mile, go with them 2. Go with them 2. That's strength under control. See, the Jew would have power to say, "I've gone my mile, I can stop." But meekness says, "I'll go another mile." That's the power you have. You have the power to be able to do that, and it's under control at that moment. Meekness is to all of us that are saved, and I want us to expand upon this very simple thought of what it is to be meek. Number one, I want us to understand this. Write this down. It's real simple. Inaccurate meekness. Or you might say it like this, mistaken meekness. Sometimes meekness gets a falsetto about it. Some people look at meekness and they say, that's meekness, or that's a meek man, or that's a meek woman, when in reality it's something much different. We sometimes confuse natural dispositions in life for a spiritual gift. What I mean by that is this, is that this person over here, they might be a naturally happy person. Does anybody know a naturally happy person? I mean, they're just naturally happy. I mean, there's naturally, you always see them, they always got a smile on their face, all right? And you might mistake that and say, you know what, that person has the joy of the Lord upon them because they're always happy. No mistake, just because somebody's always smiling that they have the joy of the Lord. It could be that they have a good smile in public, but in private, they're always hurting and crying and have no joy whatsoever. Be careful how we describe natural dispositions in life. As one author said, some dogs are nicer than others. And that's just the truth, isn't it? I mean, some dogs are just nicer than others. Some of us just have nicer dispositions. Some of you are just more merciful than others. Some of you are just meaner than others, right? Come on now. I'm not calling out any names here tonight, but that's just the truth. That's just our natural. Some of us are just tougher than others. Some of us are more sensitive than others. Some of us are more fragile than others. Some of us are just more a little bit more terse than others. That's just our natural disposition. That's who we are in life. And so we sometimes confuse other things with meekness, such as laziness or indolence. There are some people that seem to be meek, but they're really just do-nothings. That's what they are. They just do nothing. It's not that they're meek. It's just that they don't do anything. They're too lazy. They're just lazy people. And all they're concerned about is going from one meal to the next. It's not that they're being led of the Spirit and placing themselves underneath the control of meekness, but rather that they are just so lazy they have no energy to work, less energy to fight. It's not that they don't want, it's not that they're putting themselves under control that they don't want to fight. They don't even want to work. Bible says there's even some that are so lazy they don't even want to bring their hand to their mouth to eat in Proverbs. Can you imagine that? Sitting there looking at your food. Oh, I have to eat again. Okay, you know, just barely getting it up there. Don't mistake somebody like that for me. That's not a meek person, that's a lazy person. There's also the easygoing attitude. Maybe you might think of it. When I think of easygoing attitude, I just think of the surfer dude, you know? Kind of long blonde hair, you know what I mean? No cares in life. Just take it easy, stay cool, stay hang loose, man. Take it easy. They don't care what people say about them. You know why they don't care what people say about them? Because they just don't care about anything, you know? They don't care how they look, they don't care how they dress, they don't care how they smell. They don't care what their house looks, what their car looks like. They don't care about anything. Easy going, not meekness. Nice. Don't confuse niceness for meekness. You ever known somebody that was just nice to a fault? I mean, they're so nice that they almost get themselves in trouble for being so nice. You know what I mean? Their niceness gets them. They won't kill the mosquito that's biting them on the arm right there. They're so nice. I mean, there it is biting them. Oh, I don't want to kill it, you know. They're so nice. In fact, they get so nice that they get wrapped up in everybody's affairs, and they're so nice that they tell everybody that comes to them for an errand, they say yes to, you know. And then they find themselves that they can't fulfill all the promises that they said they were going to fulfill because they've got too many people they've said yes to because they've been nice. And they haven't been responsible. Not meekness. And then as it's been said many of times, meekness is not weakness. Some people will see peace at any price. I mean, they'll do anything not to have an argument or a disagreement, or to smooth things over. They'll compromise, they'll say one thing, then do another. They'll do anything, whatever it is, they'll lie, steal, beg or steal in order to not have an argument, in order to just say, I don't want any conflict in life. Weakness. Can I remind you that Moses is described in our Bibles as one of the meekest men in all the world? And yet whenever he came down off the mountain and saw the golden calf, he was meek. And because he was meek, he wasn't nice. He wasn't very nice. It's not very nice whenever you grind up a golden idol and make people drink it out of water. That's not a very nice thing to do, okay? He wasn't weak because he smashed the Ten Commandments right in two. He wasn't indifferent. Rather, he went down and did exactly as God would want him to. He wasn't easygoing. You see, because he was meek does not mean that he was lazy, easygoing, nice, or weak. Those are inaccurate descriptions of what meekness is. What is meekness? Well, number two, meekness is internal. Internal meekness. Meekness is internal. It's what's happening on the inside. And you see, if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, then the fruit of the Spirit must be also working on the inside of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. That is why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And pray for those that despitefully use you. See, you can't pray for someone just outwardly by yourself. That's an inward exercise. It's an inward exercise. It's not enough. What I mean by that is this, is that it's not enough just for you to maybe get mad at somebody and not cuss them out, right? Or get mad at somebody and be just knock the block right off their shoulders, you know? That's not just the necessary means of meekness. You say, well, I was able to not cuss that person out. Well, that might be a step in the right direction. Don't get me wrong. Amen, right? But here's the thing. Don't confuse that with meekness. Meekness is something that's happening on the inside. It's the fact that you don't want to cuss that person out. You don't want to knock that person out. You don't want to hurt somebody. You don't want to retaliate against them. Man, that's a long ways from where some Christians are at. I tell you right now, that's a long ways from where I feel like I'm at sometimes. Meekness, as one person said, is essentially a true view of oneself. It expresses itself in attitude and conduct and in respect to others. A meek person is absent of pride. They see nothing in themselves and therefore they do not get glory in themselves. He does not claim his rights. He does not assert himself or demand that he deserves something. There's one thing that has trapped us all. Every single one of us has fallen into a trap that is the devil has set before us and is the trap of self-sensitivity. We're all very concerned about ourselves. And you see, the very fruit of meekness is what attacks that. It's attacking our self-sensitivity. It's attacking and going after self-pity. It's going after those things. My wife has a saying around our house that whenever you do something foolish and you get hurt, she said, there's no sorrow, there's no pity here. As she says, then she'll say, self-inflicted. But here's the thing is that a lot of times we want sympathy. We want somebody to sympathize with all of our things and all of our problems and everything that is going on in our life. We have been trapped into this thing of sensitivity. And I tell you, if we're living in an age that can be described as sensitive, this is the age. I mean, is not everybody so sensitive? You can't say anything without somebody just blasting you on Facebook, it seems like, or blasting you or getting mad at you or anything. You can't say anything at all. And I understand there are unsensitive and ungodly comments. I'm not talking about those things. We have common sense and let us use them. But at the same time, understand that we live in a society, we live in a world today that is so sensitive, they're so misconstrued. It's all about me. The meek man is no longer concerned with himself. The meek woman has abandoned defending herself, has given up on themselves. We stop watching our own interests all the time and we start looking on the needs and on helping others. As Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We spend too much time looking at ourselves. Why is it we have so many few Medal of Honor recipients. You know why? Because it's unusual. It's unusual for somebody to throw their body onto a grenade to protect the lives of others that are around them. That's unusual. It's honoring, yes. It's bravery, you might say. It's courage, yes. It's all of those things. But I tell you what, number one, it's unusual. It's unusual. You don't see things like that. People don't do stuff like that. Most people are more concerned about themselves than they are anybody else. And truly, a meek man is rid himself or herself of self-pity. Truly, a meek person does not say to themselves, you know what, self, you're really having a bad day today. And I know the world around you doesn't understand you. And if they truly knew how wonderful I really was, you know, I mean, they would give me a chance. Did you know there used to be, and there might still be out there, but there used to be self-affirmation tapes that you'd put in your car, and they were tapes. Destiny, there was a thing called a cassette tape, and you put it in there, and it had a little thing on there, and it spun around and everything. I asked somebody today, have you ever driven a stick shift? Said no. I said, man, millennial, right there. I think we've been living, though, folks, and we kind of give millennials a hard time for being so sensitive to everything, but you've really been living, this sensitivity thing has been going on. It really got heightened after World War II. Just a little history there. It got heightened after World War II when everybody's needs were being met and really a self-sense of entitlement came upon people. It was no longer, let's go do it, let's work, let's get this thing done. It was, what can you do for me? How can you help me? Not let's help our country or let's help our neighbor or let's help help this person. No, it was, how can you help me? The old JFK statement is gone way by the wayside. It's more about what can people do for me. John Bunyan said this. He said, he that is down, fear no fall. See, that's a correct view of meekness. It's having a correct view of yourself. It's to be quite opposite of these other things I'm describing. In fact, it's a true view of yourself. If you view yourself as God would view you, then you would understand that nobody can hurt you. Nobody can say anything negative about you because here's the thing. If anybody says anything negative about you, it's probably true or it probably can be true. I came up with a good saying. I thought it was a good saying. Now, in my opinion, this is a good saying right here. You can't hurt dirt. You can't hurt dirt. Somebody gets mad at you, says something to you, retaliates against you. You can't hurt dirt. You say you're calling yourself dirt? That's a pretty low view of yourself, Pastor. See, that's our problem. We've gotten away from what the Bible tells us we are. The Bible says that out of the what? Dust of the ground, he formed man. Well, a woman says, well, I wasn't formed out of dust of the ground. Well, you're a rib then, okay? What's better, you know? A rib or dust, all right? That's your choice, okay? That's what you get. That's what we are. We're either ribs or we're dust. No, that's it. We're nothing more. God has let us know who we are and where we came from. Not being truly meek goes all the way back to the fall, and not just to that part, but it goes back to the fall of man, where man and woman are in the garden, they've sinned against God, and guess what they're doing? They're not repenting, they're not confessing, they're blame shifting. And that is the very definition of what is it meaning to not be meek and not to be internally meek. To be having a high view of yourself, but rather somebody that is meek has a true view of them own, of their own selves. I'm not as good as people say that I am. And when somebody does say something good about you, are you surprised? I can tell you, as a younger man, I wasn't very meek. I know I wasn't very meek. I know there were times that I thought I deserved things. And when I didn't get those things that I thought that I deserved, then I became really upset. disenchanted, if you will. And that's all it will ever do to us. It'll hurt us, make us sad and miserable. But there is a way in which meek shows itself, and that's the external meekness. There's an inaccurate meekness, an internal meekness, and an external meekness. And this last one, this external meekness, is how meekness shows itself out in our lives. And I've already given you a description of it in Matthew 5, but I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20 real quick this evening. And I want to just show you real quickly here tonight that there are three different ways in which meekness shows itself out. I'm sure there are many, but just three biblical ways. One of those is when you have been judged wrongly. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20 and 23, the Bible teaches us here of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how He was judged wrongly, how they judged Him. And the Bible says in verse number 20, it says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." That's meekness. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Oh, wow. Looky here, whenever you see that right there, you better pay attention in your Bibles. Leaving us an example. What does that mean? He's about to tell us what the example it is to look like. What did He do? Oh, then He even says that you should follow in His steps. Oh, man, it's getting good here. It's getting real explanatory here. What's He trying to tell us? Well, look what it says. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." And this is where we're at tonight. "Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." You see, that's an example of whenever you're wronged and wrong judgment happens upon you. You see, I think this is one of the most difficult places to be meek at, whenever somebody judges you wrongly. He says in verse number 20 very plainly, he says, "If you be buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently," he says, "what glory is that?" There's no glory in it. There's no glory, right? If you did something wrong and you get in trouble for it and get fined for it and you say, "Well, I'm just going to do this in meekness." There's no glory in that. That's not glorious. That's what you should do. But there's glory in the fact that if when you are judged wrongly, somebody calls you out at work, all right, and says, "You did this," when in reality you didn't do it, and you take it patiently, and you don't fight back, and you don't get mad in the face, and you don't call that person a liar and put your finger in their face, and you just say, "Okay, well, we'll let the facts come out later," and you just kind of take that patiently, roll with the punches, and go on with life, even though you know you didn't do anything wrong. Did Jesus do anything wrong? Nothing. And the Lord of all the universe, who did nothing wrong and never did anything wrong, didn't say anything whenever He was accused of doing wrong. Yet we, who have done a million things that are wrong and probably haven't been judged for 3/4 of those things that we have done wrong, get upset when somebody judges us wrongly one time. You see what we've done? Self. Me. "Well, they're not going to say that about me. They're not going to say that about my kids. They're not going to say that about my wife." Oh, haven't we all been there? God help us. Whenever we're judged wrongly, to take it patiently. And reviled, to not revile again. When we suffer, to not threaten. A second way in which meekness is demonstrated in our lives is this, is that it's found in a teachable spirit. I won't have you turn there, but I'll read the verse. It's found in Matthew 11, 29. "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Did you notice what he said? He said, "Come, learn of me." You know, if you're going to be an external meekness about yourself, then you've got to have, listen to it, a teachable spirit. Anybody without a teachable spirit's not meek. You can just mark it down. If you're not teachable, you're not meek. That goes for anything. If you think you can always figure it out and you don't need anybody else to teach you, you're not meek. Or if maybe you're the person that whenever you're corrected about something that you're doing and you've got to just say, no, I can do it myself, you're not meek. Or do people have the thought about you that, better not correct her, you know how she gets whenever somebody says something negative, you're not meek. If you think you're really the smartest person in the room or in the world, you know what, you're not, and nobody else can do a better job, then you're not meek. In the book of Matthew, you find Mary, and I think it's in Luke, I'm sorry. You find Mary and the whole family going to Jerusalem to worship. And when they leave Jerusalem, they don't have Jesus. Now, I've always wondered that. How do you leave your 12-year-old behind, you know? But you do, okay? Some of you probably left your kids behind, all right? It was the whole family was together. They come back looking. They're for 3 days. They can't find him. You know they've got to be worried. And when they finally find him in the temple, they fuss at him, all right? That's what they do. They fuss at him, okay? That's what any of us would do, right? I mean, after we hugged him and loved on him and said, well, we missed you and everything. Why didn't you run away? Like our psyche changes, doesn't it? Our whole entire mood changes. Where have you been? What are you doing? Why didn't you? You know, and they're mad. They're kind of mad at him. They're fussing at him. And he says to them, he says, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And here's a beautiful example of meekness, a teachable spirit. Bible says in the next verse is that, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. She thought about it. You see, that's meekness. It's not that you're a perfect person, okay? Okay, it's not. But here is the deal, is that whenever a mistake comes up and somebody answers that mistake with a very logical and reasonable and biblical answer, you know what you at least you do about it? You at least ponder it. You at least think about it. Somebody told me a really good rule to have in life, especially as a preacher. Because if you're going to be a preacher, Alex, I'll tell you what, you better get a little bit of thick, you better get some rhinoceros skin every once in a while, because some people are going to say some things to you that are just not nice, okay? And they're going to criticize you and everything. They're going to criticize your preaching. They're going to criticize your pastoring, okay? They're going to criticize your kids. None of these people in this auditorium have ever done that, okay? All right? I'm not kidding about that when I say that. But you're going to have, and somebody told me a long time ago, they said, here's what you do with criticism. And this applies to any of us. When somebody criticizes you, you find the good in the criticism. You find the good in the criticism. You say, well, that was wrong what they said about me. Well, it probably was, all right? And it was probably harder than what it should have been. It probably didn't come out the way it should have. But here's the deal, is that there is something true in the criticism. Most of the time, criticism is like a very, very is like this big. The truth of criticism is this small. But when it comes out, it looks like this, all right? There's always a kernel of truth in criticism. You just got to find it. And you have to apply it. You have to realize, you know what? I probably am this. I'm probably not that. God help me. Finally, it requires a waiting heart. I'll be quick with this. If you're going to be truly meek on the outside, not just the inside, you got to wait. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I think the key to meekness and waiting and being teachable and all of it goes back to our text in 1 Peter 2:23. Back to our Lord. For he says, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus committed himself to his Father. The word commit means to be put in prison. Jesus imprisoned himself to the Father's will. He delivered himself up to the Father long before he was delivered up to be crucified. That is the key to meekness. If you're struggling with meekness, if you're struggling ever with retaliation, maybe it's with a spouse, maybe it's with a child, maybe it's with a coworker or a boss, maybe it's with a brother, maybe it's with a sister, a sibling, maybe it's with somebody in this church. Can I ask you this simple question? Have you committed yourself to God who judges righteously? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes real quick.